This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, now we got to start there. We got our friend David Noble in the house with us here on this Thursday. I was BSing about football with David during the Fox News update there. So if I missed a big news update, please let me know. But, yeah, David, I was asking you during the break. So this is a record has already been broken in the Class B state football state championship game coming up. Now I'm trying to remember. Is it a Friday night game? I think it's a Friday night game. I got to go back and look at our Montana Talks website here. But how about this? You are a Manhattan, Montana kid. You graduated from Manhattan. Manhattan is playing Three Forks. What is it, a 12-mile difference between the two towns? This is the closest road trip for a Class B state championship football game in state history. I think I know who you're rooting for in that game.
Yeah, that's interesting because Three Forks and Manhattan are actually rivals, and so that'll be a fantastic game. You know, what I was saying, Aaron, is I actually take credit for turning around the Manhattan High School football program back in 2004 and 2005. That program hadn't made a playoff appearance in many, many decades, and I think it was 2005 when I was a senior, we made it to the playoffs. And ever since then, the Manhattan High School football team has just been dominant, and so you love to see it. I've often thought I should write a book about what it was like growing up in Manhattan, Montana in the 90s when I was 4 or 5 years old, headed to preschool. I was already walking by myself to preschool in Manhattan. In kindergarten, I was riding my bike a mile and back to school. And then things like the football program and just how wonderful it was to grow up there. We're so blessed to be have towns like that, Manhattan, and be able to grow up in them.
Yeah, no, that'd be a great book. You should do that one day. It kind of reminds me of when I was a kid on the High Line and going back and forth between the Flathead and Glasgow. I remember one time, I think I was in fourth grade, and I rode my bike from Glasgow to Nashua on Highway 2 because I thought, what the heck? I'm gonna go get those JoJo's at the gas station in Nashua. So, yeah, I'll just ride my bike, you know, 28 miles or so round trip to go get some JoJo's. Why not, right?
Yeah,
that's what kids could do back then.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, I mean literally, like, you could always tell where everybody was at by the number of bicycles in the front yards. And so you'd ride around town of Manhattan and, oh, that's where everybody's at. Let's join the crew. Let's toss our bike in the yard too and go inside. And that's where everybody's at.
Yeah. Oh, great reminder. That's why it's like watching the show Stranger Things, you know, definitely that, you know, that's kind of like what it was like back in the 80s and the 90s, especially in small town Montana. Man, I would love to be a fly on the wall. Last year we did a great event at V42 Fitness in Three Forks, and you know, Three Forks and Manhattan are so close that I remember seeing folks from Manhattan showing up at the V42 Fitness gym, and then maybe even one of the football coaches, and then of course folks in Three Forks there. So it'd be really interesting to be a fly on the wall as folks are throwing weights around tomorrow, talking trash ahead of the big Three Forks Manhattan Class B state championship game. All right, hold that thought. David Noble, so great to have him with us here. Mom Donnie's victory fuels a movement. This is I think it's a pretty interesting update in the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. We'll talk about that more. Plus, David's got a couple of stories racked and stacked for us as well.
Donald Trump's America.
Saudi Arabia was named a major non-NATO ally of the United States during a two-day visit by the country's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who also signed a major defense partnership pact with President Trump.
That happens seldom. It's very seldom. If at all. So I just want to congratulate you on that. That's a sign of trust.
The president is signing off on the sale of new generation F-35 jets for Saudi Arabia.
The partnership between our two nations is among the most consequential in the entire world, and together the Crown Prince and I are making an alliance stronger and more powerful than it's ever been before.
Saudi Arabia's crown prince is pledging at least $1 trillion worth of investments in the U.S., and the two nations are partnering to build a nuclear power infrastructure in Saudi Arabia. Long term, President Trump is pushing for Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords, formalizing ties with Israel. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Fox on Tech.
There will soon be no more Facebook for teenagers down under. Needing to comply with a new law in Australia banning teens from social media, Meta will start deleting accounts across Facebook, Instagram, and Threads come December. Email notifications are already being sent out to teen account holders in Australia. Starting December 4th, those accounts will be deactivated. Any new accounts created by anyone determined to be under 16 will be blocked, and by December 10th, no young teen or child in Oz will be on Meta platforms. Australian lawmakers say their teen social media ban is one of the most wide-reaching in the world, saying the online spaces are just not safe for younger teens and kids, and social networks violating the law could be fined tens of millions of dollars. Meta will allow teen account holders to get a notice for when they reach their 16th birthday so they can use the platforms again. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So there were a couple of things that caught my eye in the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. This one came out, I think, yesterday afternoon, Stephen Moore's outfit here. One is this: China's great climate change head fake. David, you're so great about covering the climate alarmist agenda. But, yeah, basically, they share a chart here that came out from The Economist just showing how China overwhelmingly has the massive lead globally when it comes to climate, or when it comes to carbon dioxide emissions, nothing about climate, but when it comes to, CO2 emissions. And also, I mean, I think we're seeing the bottom start to fall out finally from the climate alarmist agenda. Victor Davis Hanson wrote a piece at the Daily Signal about why the green agenda is crumbling. I mean, even Bill Gates is doing, a big turn on the climate alarmist agenda.
Yeah, Aaron, I don't know if you heard about, but I spent quite a bit of time when I was guest hosting on that Bill Gates memo that he sent to this climate conference. And then I heard you talking about it as well. I do think it's kind of a watershed moment here. But what that here's the takeaway from the story about China's CO2 skyrocketing over these past number of years. The takeaway is it shows the Democrats are disingenuous. When the Democrats claim to care about CO2 emissions and they spend all of their time focused not on China, but instead focused on America, and their solutions all involve taking away our freedoms, giving more power and money to the Democrats and the government, and the fact that they don't say a word about China, that exposes them as being disingenuous. They don't really care about that. What they actually care about is power and money and winning elections and justifying their socialist takeover of the economy and everything else. That's the big takeaway. It's the same thing with like women's rights, for example. The United States is a world leader in women's rights. And these Democrats will accuse Republicans and conservatives of being, the American Taliban and mistreating women. But they don't seem to say a word about all of the mistreatment of women that goes on in Muslim-majority countries around the world, for example. And so it's really – I don't know if these Democrats are just – they're just unsophisticated or if this is all intentional. – I mean, that's really the only open question here, but because what they're doing does not make logical, rational sense unless they're communists hiding behind the Democrat Party label and using all of these different arguments and theories and attacks on America to justify what they're trying to accomplish politically, which is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you watch the liberal judges and liberal Supreme Court justices here in Montana, they are doubling down on this radical climate alarmist agenda, even as people like Bill Gates and others are starting to turn away from it. So that's interesting from a Montana political standpoint, which is why, why Montanans have got to take these upcoming Supreme Court elections so serious here. Another thing that caught my eye.
Before you move on, I got one more comment on this. I think what's going to be really interesting about this is whether China's economy and what they've done in terms of their production of windmills and solar panels over the past decade or so is going to turn out to be a huge waste of their money and efforts. Because what's happened is, China doesn't believe in man-made global warming. China does, and here's what I'm, and by the way, another side comment, I'm not concerned about China's CO2 emissions. You know what I am concerned about? China's putting real pollution into the air,
mercury,
into the water, into the soil, putting plastics into the oceans. I mean, 90% of the plastic in the Pacific Ocean comes from 10 rivers in Asia and Africa. That's what I'm concerned about when it comes to the environment. But that aside, with America under Trump and under Republican leadership at the state level, turning away from, windmills and solar panels. And meanwhile, China, I think, ramped up windmill and solar panel production just to sell them to the places like the U.S. and Europe. Well, if we don't buy those and China's invested all this money in windmill and solar panel factories, that may not turn out too well for them.
Great point. Great point. That's why President Trump was so smart not to send even one delegate down to that stupid COP30 summit in Brazil. Here was the other thing that stood out to me from the Unleash Prosperity hotline. So there was a USA Today piece, and Stephen Moore calls it an ode to socialism. The headline was this: Mamdani's victory fuels a movement. But what captured Stephen Moore's attention here was what he calls a humorous quote from a 30-year-old socialist in Pennsylvania explaining why we need socialism. Here's the quote for you, David. "I definitely have a couple friends that are very against capitalism now and see it as a system that really isn't working, especially in like my field, which is healthcare, where capitalism is just not working." And then Stephen Moore makes the point, there is no industry in America further from free market capitalism than healthcare right now.
That is hilarious that they would bring up that example. And I don't understand, like, do these people not know history? Do they literally not understand that the reason, it's like these people that want to trash the U.S. military and trash U.S. foreign policy. It's like very easy for all of you Democrats out there to sit here living a luxurious, safe and secure lifestyle brought to you by capitalism, the U.S. Constitution, and the U.S. military, and you're going to sit there and criticize all three of those things. I mean, I don't know how these Democrats sleep at night taking these positions when, it's so obvious throughout history what policies at the government level work for the economy. And the freer it is, the better it is. And that's true for the lowest of the low, the lowest income earners and the top income earners. There's been nothing that's brought more people out of poverty than elements of free market capitalism. And that's done more for low income people than any government program ever has. And that's the fact and that's the truth that people need to know about.
That's right. And even Bill Maher on HBO came out in defense of capitalism. I thought that was pretty crazy.
It's November 20th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's National Absurdity Day. No one really knows why today pays homage to the weird, odd, or absurd, but feel free to act a little outside the normal. History is riddled with people or events which were once thought of as absurd, which have now become reality, like space travel or flying. Did you know at one point in the history of the post office, you could actually mail a small child for as little as 15 cents? Insurance, of course, was optional. So go ahead, wear a sweater inside out, or say ahoy instead of hello. Also on this date, in 1789, New Jersey becomes the first state to ratify the Bill of Rights. And in 1985, computer operating system Microsoft Windows 1.0 is launched. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the first commissioner of baseball, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, born in 1866, and President Joe Biden, born in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in 1942. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is House Call for Health. Today is the Great American Smokeout, and the American Cancer Society hopes it'll be a day to begin a journey toward a smoke-free life. The organization says smoking rates have been declining for years, but it still remains the most preventable cause of serious illness and death. Some stats they highlight: smoking and exposure to secondhand smoke cause more than 480,000 deaths in the U.S. every year. Smoking cigarettes increases the risk of at least 12 different cancers. Cigarette smoking causes about 3 of every 10 cancer deaths. That number's higher in parts of the South and Appalachia. So how do you quit? The organization says for most people, it's a combination of medicine, a method to change personal habits, and emotional support. You can get more information on the benefits of stopping cigarette smoking and resources at cancer.org. Or for more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund. Now that both USDA is funded and the 2018 Farm Bill is extended through September, will Congress work to pass a Farm Bill in 2026? Cam Quarles, CEO of the National Potato Council, weighs in.
I think the leaders of both the House and Senate Ag Committees really recognize the imperative of getting a farm bill done. The farm policy we're operating under right now was written in 2017 and 2018. And the world has just changed a lot in these intervening years. We really need an update, not just to take care of the agriculture that we see right in front of our faces, but also what we anticipate 5 years down the line. We owe it to producers to provide them with that level of certainty, and also just kind of thoughtfully figure out where does such a fundamental, really a national security issue like our food supply, how do we take care of that for, you know, the coming half a decade?
Will the midterm elections have any impact on the bill?
It's not impossible to do a farm bill in an election year, and a number of them have been done in election year. So I don't think that's a huge hurdle. Certainly for folks who come from agriculture heavy states, and there are a few Senate seats up in agriculture heavy states, having a farm bill to point to as a success would be quite helpful for those sitting members who are running for re-election again.
I'm Lane Northlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, David, I got to do a frago for you here since we just had the Farm and Ranch Report, because one of my candidates for the Woke Update of the Week, David's got a couple of great stories we need to get to here in a second, but David, this is my candidate for Woke Update of the Week. I think you saw it on X earlier this morning. This is a very interesting write-up in the Daily Wire by the one and only Matt Walsh. The tick that makes people allergic to meat, and the climate cult wants to breed trillions more. I don't know if you got a chance to read it. It's a lengthy column. But the bottom line, David, is this, is apparently there is a tick-borne meat allergy known as alpha-gal syndrome, or AGS. And basically, it makes you allergic to red meat, where you can have just severe medical repercussions if you eat red meat, if you've been infected by this tick and you get this tick-borne disease, AGS. And the climate cult scientists want to breed more of the ticks because they think that if we stop people from eating red meat, we stop climate change. Holy cow.
Absolutely ridiculous. And Aaron, my first thought is, hey, we need to have a lockdown. We need to have a tick lockdown here. I'm not leaving my house. I'm not risking getting bit by that tick. I'm trying to eat more beef and more red meat. In fact, I was just talking to a rancher in Muscle Shell County. I'm going to buy a half a cow from them.
Hey.
Apparently a lot of ranchers just got done doing their preg testing, and some of them will keep their dries and for a couple months fatten them up, and then I'll sell you half a cow if you want. So that's a good way to go.
Oh, that's a great way to go, especially if you're worried about affordability right now. That's a great way to lower that price per pound, is by, you know, buying a half a beef or a whole beef, throwing it in the freezer, and just grabbing as you need it. Yeah, very smart move there. But yeah, I was just highlighting just a couple of points here. So Matt Walsh says this. He says, there is very clear evidence that some of the world's leading scientists want to spread AGS as much as possible. They've been very open about that fact. These scientists want people to get infected with this meat allergy so that they stop eating meat, on the theory that if people stop eating meat, the climate will stop changing, the animals will be saved, and so on. And then he points to statements on the World Economic Forum website. He quotes a bioethics expert by the name of Matthew Liao, who has worked at NYU, Oxford, Hopkins, Georgetown, and Princeton. I mean, my goodness, we know that red meat is one of the best things you can eat. It's key to, you know, making the population healthy again, and yet they want people to get infected with a tick-borne disease so that they don't eat healthy red meat.
And you know what, it makes me think of something I've read in, I'm reading War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy right now, and he makes a point in that book about how government administrators oftentimes do not love the citizens of their country And a lot of these government administrators and bureaucrats will oftentimes, they really want to govern the people. They want to control the people, but they don't actually have much love for the people. And I just sort of recognize that as like, wow, why that's important is because, for example, with this tick thing, the only way anybody, whether they're in power or not in power, the only way that anybody could support trying to spread that tick that causes the meat allergy is if you actually hate the citizens, if you actually hate the people, which is kind of why it's so important for us when we're voting for candidates to really try to figure out if these candidates, if they actually love other people, if they actually love the citizens, or if they're just power hungry and they actually hate the citizens and they've got ulterior motives, because there's got to be an ulterior motive for wanting to spread that tick. There's nothing else that could explain that.
Hey, well, speaking of that, did you see this? There's this Democrat candidate for Congress in Nashville, Tennessee. And who was it? They were, I don't know if it was Benny Johnson or one of these guys, but they've got video of this woman openly despising country music, openly despising, you know, the country bars in Nashville. I mean, like, she openly despises what Nashville is known for. And anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny based off of your remarks, because, yeah, you can just see the way some of these people, they look down at people, they despise some people, they think they're better than people, which is why they want to control us, which is why they want people dependent on the government.
1 minute,
so that you vote for
1 minute to
them.
And they next think Fox you need News to vote 30. For them
because you can't take care of yourself, so you need Democrats to care for you because they think they're better than you.
Yeah, but it's like, why would I want Democrats to care for me if they hate me? That's the question. makes no sense.
Yeah, very good point. Let's see. All right, we got to get to the Fox News update, and then we'll get back to David here in 60 seconds. Got a message on the Montana Talks app from John in Bozeman. He was referencing a story about shoplifting in Belgrade that I referenced in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. He says, this is great that we are actually holding habitual criminals accountable with these fines and jail time. Now let's do the same thing with murderers and the death penalty. Yeah, if you missed it, there's a new law in Montana that's finally holding these shoplifters accountable, and it's catching them by surprise because they used to just be able to get away with it. David, I don't think you were able to hear that Fox News update there, but the jobs numbers came out. I already saw an app alert from the New York Times, even the New York Times admitting that the jobs numbers came in way better than expected. You know, the numbers were delayed because of the government shutdown, but the jobs numbers came in better than expected. Wages outpacing inflation. Maybe that's the Trump W of the week right there, huh, David?
Sounds like a great W of the week for me.
All right. Well, what story do you want to get to next?
Okay, this is kind of a follow-up on something I talked about when I was guest hosting, because at the time, Q2 had put out this story interviewing the Yellowstone County GOP chair about sort of the Republicans' failure in the Billings elections. And I commented at the time, like, this is ridiculous for Q2 to be painting these election results this way, when prior to the election, Q2 was the one saying, oh, these are nonpartisan races, these are nonpartisan, and also opposing, you know, efforts to make city council and school board and everything else partisan races. Well, Tom Lutie at the Montana Free Press has a new story out just last night. Candidates backed by donors that typically support Democrats will govern Montana's reddest cities. They're talking about Billings and Kalispell. They claim in here that Montana's largest Republican cities are Billings and Kalispell, will be led by basically Democrat mayors and a Democrat left-wing city council. And there's a couple of things I think here. Number one, it kind of tells me, you know, that we need to do a better job focusing on this. When we were talking during the break, I was telling you, I remember when AOC and Bernie were in the state, they were in Missoula. And I specifically remember AOC in Montana saying, hey, we're going to focus on city council races, specifically said city council races. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to laugh and joke about AOC and Bernie at the time and how ridiculous some of the things they were saying and doing here in Montana was. But given these city council races, they might have had a good point. And then second of all is this whole notion about these races being nonpartisan when it's so – I mean, city council, school board, you know, they're making – they're making spending decisions that ultimately impact property taxes. There's nothing more political than that. That's the very definition of political. It is fighting over where to put the money. That's exactly what, you know, partisan politics is all about. And everybody sort of recognizes that, even these Democrats in the mainstream, but yet they still oppose making those elections partisan. One of the smartest things that I've ever heard was from Jake Eaton. I had Jake Eaton in, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen to some of Jake Eaton stuff when I was guest hosting, but he made the great point, which is the best thing that we could do to fix our property tax problem in this state is make school board and city council elections not happen on these random weird off years, but instead happen during the main even year elections.
Totally.
And number
agree.
Two, make them partisan.
Totally
because
agree.
Because until we make these races partisan and put them on the main election day, that we're going to get steamrolled by Democrat Socialists of America candidates, you name it. And then, of course, those
great point.
You fix that those
hold
issues
that
and that results.
Hold that thought. We'll talk more about this.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, we could spend the rest of the hour just talking about this one story and David's comments. Totally agree all the way around. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we could have our guest producer, Finley Warden, jump on the microphone and weigh in with his thoughts as well, because this is an important topic. David, first off, yeah, I totally agree. I've mentioned this before on the show as well. One of the most important things that the legislature needs to do is stop having these off-year elections. You know, look at how low the turnout is. What, like 30% on a good day for these off-year elections, for school board elections, for city council elections as well? Those elections should be held at the same time as the other major elections. They are deliberately holding those elections in the off-years because they don't want people to be involved. And look, the Republican base, you know, typically always shows up on election day in votes. But look at what Donald Trump has brought to the table. He has solidified the Republican Party as the working class party. And a lot of the Trump voters, these are people who, you know, they're not, you know, reading, you know, following every single news story every single day. And yeah, they might show up for the presidential elections, especially when Donald Trump's name's on the ballot. But these are your low-intensity voters that are just harder to get to turn out to show up in these off-year elections. But the bottom line is, if we want people more engaged in local issues and city council and school board, we can't stop, you know, basically hiding these elections during off-year election cycles.
What was the original? Do you even know why would they have ever done this originally? It makes no sense from a cost perspective, for one. Now, we have to administer additional elections. It's probably way cheaper for the taxpayer if we did all of these in the same year and that type of thing. So number one, it's just cost and efficiency. Doesn't make any sense to do it this way. So why? I mean, I don't understand. What was the original even reasoning behind it? Do you know?
Good question. Yeah, good question.
Because I don't. I can't think of any reason to do it this way.
Well, if you're somebody who wants more money from the taxpayers, who's likely to show up in an off-year election? The people that are in agreement that want more money from the taxpayers. Everyday taxpayers, you know, working class folks that are sick of paying taxes, that are saying we are taxed enough already, you know, if more of them show up for the election, they're more likely to say no to your additional funding requests. So that's why they fight so hard. But that's exactly why, you know, this legislation needs to get across the finish line. And I think it's why a lot of these moderate Republicans have just finally ticked off enough people in the state of Montana where people, you know, 10, 12 years ago, the moderates could have gotten away with this stuff. But now people have had it. And a lot of very influential Republicans and conservatives that might have given some of these moderates a pass, say, 12, 13 years ago, they have absolutely had it now. And it's because of stuff like this. It's because of stuff like Supreme Court and not allowing for people to run on a partisan affiliation for our Supreme Courts as well. And then just like you pointed out, David, here's the fake news media. Oh, before the election, they allow these Democrat-backed candidates to pretend to be conservatives, to pretend to be nonpartisan. it's a nonpartisan election where they don't even have a D or R behind their name. But then after the election, oh, they start, you know, putting up the balloons and saying, oh, look at the Democrats won, the Democrats won. But they refuse to call them Democrats before the election.
It's just a classic move for the media. Hey, I've got a really important story. I think it's important for people to hear if I can get into that.
Go for it.
Okay, so I was just sitting there last night having a nice evening, and Wall Street Journal push notification comes across about kids on ADHD medications, and I read it, and it kind of broke my heart. It's been an issue I've been interested in for a long time. I mean, I grew up with friends that were put on Adderall and stimulants like that when they were little kids, and have kind of been interested in it since that time. With this wall, there's really kind of two main points here from the Wall Street Journal. But first, just the basic takeaway here is that you've got over 7 million kids in the U.S. that are taking ADHD medications. And the problem that this article is talking about is that it oftentimes results in a cascade of drugs to where a lot of these kids are being put on ADHD meds. But then the ADHD meds are causing them to be irritable or causing them to be anxious, which, of course, makes sense. I mean, you're taking a stimulant. Of course, it's going to make you irritable or those types of things. And so then what they do is they prescribe these kids Prozac, benzodiazepines. They've got an example in here from the young girl that ended up taking 14 different kinds of psychiatric pills. And here's the other thing it kind of mentions is that according to the actual guidelines for ADHD, you're actually supposed to try behavioral therapy first before you would ever move to any of the medications. And what the Wall Street Journal analysis found is that that's not happening. Most of these kids, simply because the providers for behavioral therapy aren't there. And so a lot of these kids are getting put on these ADHD medications before they've actually completed the behavioral therapy, which is supposed to be tried first. And then second of all, there's no scientific evidence to suggest that multiple psychiatric drugs for kids is safe and effective. The Wall Street Journal does say if it's just the ADHD meds and your kids are on that, you know, there are studies that say that's safe and effective. But once you start combining these drugs into 14, you know, different kind of meds on these kids, there's no evidence to back that up. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of parents are kind of getting pressured into putting their kids on these meds. So the two important takeaways is, number one, you're supposed to try behavioral therapy first. If that fails, then you can move to it. And second of all, you're not supposed to be on multiple of these drugs if for your kids.
Yeah, yeah, and this is why I think so many independents and even a lot of Democrats were really appreciative and supportive of President Trump. Was a big part of that was also RFK Jr. and what he is doing with the Make America Healthy Again agenda that's focusing on these types of very issues. Yeah, so very important story. All right, let's go into the phone lines. We've got Tom in Billings weighing in on this conversation about off-year elections. Tom, what's your thoughts? Thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, Aaron. And, I've been in politics for almost 20 years now, and the off-year election is based on the term limits. So if we could get a statewide term limit based on everybody runs for office, you got county commissioners, you got city council, you got the governor's race, you got this. We don't need to base it on a federal thing. You know, everything is always based on the federal. You know, the Enumerated Powers Act, you know, we got to go back to the basics. Everything needs to come up for election on the same time that the president is being elected, the midterms are being elected, the judges are being elected, and we need to bring back the whole idea of putting a D or an R behind the judges, because we've elected judges in this state of Montana that a lot of people don't understand that, okay, well, he's he's running on this, but we need to know where they stand.
And then they pretend to be something else. No, agree. Yeah, totally on the allowance for party affiliation and then the off-year elections, doing away with that. It's absurd. It's a massive waste of money. It brings less involvement all around. Tom, thanks for the call. David, your thoughts?
Well, aren't the Democrats the ones that are constantly trying to say that more voter participation is a good thing? And here we have a proposal that would indisputably increase voter participation, and the Democrats oppose it. Maybe it's because the Democrats actually have paid ballot harvesters in the state of Montana, because there is a Montana Supreme Court opinion that struck down multiple laws passed by the people of Montana to eliminate paid ballot harvesting. And yet they said that's part of the right to vote is the right to do paid ballot harvesting. And so the Democrats can get their votes out in these weird off-year elections that nobody's paying attention to, I think partially because of that.
Well, but I think conservatives need to be outraged. They need to be ticked off. I'm glad that the media is gloating about the fact that they lied about who these candidates were, and now they're cheering, oh, look, we got these Democrats elected in Kalispell. We got these Democrats elected in Billings. You know what? Let them gloat. Let them cheer. Let that fuel your outrage so that you can get folks to show up next year for the midterm elections. And you know what I'm saying? People need to be fired up about what just happened, about the fact that they were lied to yet again by the media on this topic. All right, another quick break. I forgot I got one other story that I want to get David's thoughts on here. It deals with healthcare. It deals with socialized medicine in Canada. Lack of adequate healthcare in Canada? Anyway, we'll get to that story next.
Fox Sports Update.
Hey, listen up. Hey, before we do all the celebration stuff, so proud of you guys, man. Amen. Tough couple weeks. You guys made us proud, man.
Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer in the locker room with his players just 11 days after the death of Cowboys 24-year-old defensive lineman Marshawn Kneeland, who took his own life. The Cowboys scored a galvanizing 33-16 win over the Raiders in Las Vegas.
Here's Lamb wide open, backs in for the touchdown. End zone, touchdown Cowboys. Ferguson, Prescott able to step into it. Got Pickens, good move. Nice cutback and a touchdown. Prescott, wide open, touchdown grab. This time, Flanoy.
On ABC at ESPN, Dak Prescott threw four touchdown passes in the Cowboys' 33-16 win against the Raiders. Dallas improved its record to 4-5-1. Las Vegas is now 2-8. The Jets are benching quarterback Justin Fields in favor of Tyrod Taylor. The Falcons are turning to Kirk Cousins, with Michael Penix Jr. possibly done for the season with a knee injury. Bengals receiver Jamar Chase is appealing a one-game suspension for spitting on Steelers defensive back Jalen Ramsey. NBA Monday, the Detroit Pistons won again, 10th in a row. Detroit improved its record to 12-2 with a 127-112 win over Indiana. The Pacers, who went seven games in the finals last season with Oklahoma City, have the worst record in the NBA, 1-13. The reigning champion Thunder, 14-1 after a 126-109 win over the Pelicans. Six straight wins for OKC. The Bulls snapped the Nuggets' seven-game win streak, 130-127. San Antonio Spurs star Victor Wembanyama is going to miss a few weeks because of a strained left calf muscle. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. If control of the House boils down to a seat or two, Democrats may rue the day that Maine Democrat Jared Golden announced his retirement. Golden is one of the most moderate Democrats in the House. He faced both a primary challenge from his left and a strong challenge from former Republican Maine Governor Paul LePage in the state's 2nd District. In an op-ed, Golden said, quote, "I have grown tired of the increasing incivility and plain nastiness that are now common for some elements of our American community, behavior that too often our political leaders exhibit themselves." Golden's unexpected withdrawal from the race buoys the campaign of Matt Dunlap. Dunlap attacked Golden from the left, accusing the four-term lawmaker of voting too often with Republicans. Golden said he was motivated to step away from public life in part due to the rise in political violence around the country. He pointed to the killing of Charlie Kirk, the attempted assassinations of President Trump, the attack on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, and the killing of Minnesota state legislator Melissa Hortman. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
Okay, David, I found the clip. I found the audio soundbite from AOC that we referenced after her and Bernie did their, after she and Bernie did their rally at the University of Montana Adams Center. So stand by. We'll get to that. First, let's sneak on another quick caller here. We're getting short on time, but we got Big Jim on the phone lines. Big Jim, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Aaron, Mokina's a little town southwest of Chicago, right on I-80. And, you know, really, Illinois is a red state. Anything south of I-80 is basically red. It's only four counties that makes it blue. But here in Mokena, we do have the off-year elections, and it works very, very well for us because we're concerned with local issues and don't want to bring in the national issue. We're concerned making those, our streets are swept, that we have a tree program, that we get our garbage picked up, things like that. And so I think it's good because it focuses on the local issues. Actually, I was one time quoted in the newspaper, the Vietnam veteran said, hey, it's really more important than what happens in Mokena than what happens at the national level. But we can put pressure on our local officials to keep our property taxes in that low. So I just think it works out much better for us to concentrate on our local issues and not bring in, and I'm a Trump guy, but I don't want to bring that into the village board meeting.
In Illinois, it's tough. That's a very interesting angle. Yeah, David, so Big Jim spends a lot of time in Bozeman and, you know, comes back and forth, great Vietnam veteran listener here, but lives in Illinois. And so, yeah, so in a, you know, blue state where blue state politics dominates, you know, a lot of those folks are very conservative outside of Chicago. But, yeah, that's interesting where there it's kind of the opposite effect where in the off-year elections it gives them a chance to actually separate from the national politics.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm glad you called in and said that because I was genuinely curious, like, what is the original reasoning behind this? And that must be it. I mean, it sounds good in theory. At least here in Montana, it doesn't really work that way in practice. I mean, most people are completely tuned out of politics and news. And so I think you'd actually get more focus on local elections and local issues if they were during the main elections, because that at least some people are paying attention at that time.
People are engaged. You really see the engagement back off. I've noticed our listeners are more fired up. They're more engaged now after the municipal elections. I think it kind of kicks some folks in the rear end, you know, after seeing what happened there. Okay, short on time. David, though, here we go. Here is the soundbite that I played on the air after AOC and Bernie were in Missoula. And you know, hey, you and I talked about it back then, too. We put out this cautionary note that, hey, guys, we just won the 2024 elections in a big way here in Montana. But AOC has a point here.
But we are here for the long haul, Montana, because we are here for the school boards and the community associations. We're here for the small business groups and the town councils, for public arts and gestures of inclusion, and we will build from there.
All right, and David, we played that on the air back then. I think I played it another time or two after that. And I said, look, you guys, you watch what's going to happen in the midterm elections. People won't pay attention to school boards. They won't pay attention. And Democrats, this is what they do. They take over business groups. They take over other community associations and then start pushing their AstroTurf agenda.
They take over the universities. They take over corporations. They take over the nonprofits. Absolutely. And it's almost chilling to hear AOC say those words and remember back before we had our municipal elections here. And then to see these stories coming out just yesterday about the Democrats are so happy with these election results. And it's unfortunate. But you know what? There's always hope for the future. We can fix this the next go around.
Well, and that's where I hope the bright side of this is that I hope it kicks folks in the rear end to be more engaged in the midterm elections when so much is going to be on the line with the congressional elections and things like that. So, David Noble, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being on the program. We had a couple other callers we didn't get a chance to get to, but call back in the 8 o'clock hour or stay on the phone lines because we got the phone lines open next hour.
I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
KBUL.